Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll see where this goes. We'll keep you up to date on a game that you already know the result of, as Amin points out every week.
That is our signature. We will let you know news that you already know. That's what we do. We keep you up to date on stuff like that.
Well, challenge flag. Technically, that's what we do. You should know the scores of all the games by the time you listen to this podcast, right? We just give you a little live, stupid look into a game that is not live to you guys tomorrow. As we sit here, it's 6-0 Giants, and the Bills are 3rd-and-3 on the three-yard line. Big moment of the football game right here. The G-men are making things tough. All right, it's week 6 in the NFL. It was a defensive kind of week.
It really was.
There's not a lot of like marquee offensive plays or standouts throughout the league. The quarterbacks who put up the best stats, most of them were a part of the losing team and a losing effort. Jared Goff and Mahomes are really the only ones you look at that had impressive days, and their team won.
Yeah.
I don't even think Mahomes was all that impressive for Mahomes, that's for sure. But either way, weird day in the NFL that seems like it was defensively dominated, and it was just a lot of defensive struggles out there.
It's getting cooler.
It is.
It's a little wet out there, rainy,
right.
Misty. And we have a touchdown. The Bills are going to take the lead with an extra point.
7-6, we think. We'll see how that goes.
You're going to be way more distracted than normal.
And normally, it's a close game. It's usually a blowout by this
guy. It's in a close game. This could be very difficult to get through this. But we make that promise to you each and every week to talk about every game. We will do that once again. Here's our sections today. We got Larry Zonka drinks.
Oh, baby. He likes it to drink.
More. He does like to drink. We don't know that for a fact. But
on these days, he does.
Once a year, at least. Defense wins regular season games. We'll talk about that. Give me the headlines, last call, and then a quick recap of Thursday night football with the Chiefs and a Monday night football preview. But before we go.
Yeah. First off, what's up? How you doing?
Thank you for doing that. I'm good.
You good? Yeah.
I did want to start with what I did last night.
Right.
I was in South Bend, Indiana.
Right.
And I got to see the presumed number one pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams looked very, very human.
Yes, he did.
Very human against a very good defense.
Definitely was not one of his best nights. A little loose with the football.
Might
for
have been
sure.
His worst.
Right. What did you think of him though, without taking the football game itself? Did you get to watch him in warm-ups at all? Did you get to see him a little bit? Like,
I wish you were there to watch with me. But in the game, there are some times that he moves in ways where you're like, wow, like a defensive tackle is ripping his shoulder pad, and he just bends back almost like he's in the Matrix
and gets his balance.
Springs back up.
Right.
His balance is unbelievable.
Right. His change of direction, his movement is very special.
He's fast, too.
Right.
So he's a serious threat as a running quarterback, as everyone listening to this probably knows. But there are things, and we were even talking before the game with Matt Castle and Joshua Perry and Mike Robinson. I was like, there are things that he does, obviously, in college that you just can't do in the NFL. And you do wonder if he is creating some habits, bad habits that will be difficult to break. And then against good defenses, those bad habits turn into interceptions.
Yeah, we'll see. He's going to, like you said, probably get away with it most times, but like last night, it'll be a learning curve to go, wait, hold on. I got to change a little bit. And then, for his sake, hopefully he doesn't have any more humbling moments as the season goes on here. But those are the things you learn, right? We're watching a guy here in Josh Allen who, I don't know, there's things he does in Wyoming. I don't know if he can get away with it, right? So sometimes guys make those proper adjustments. Sometimes they don't. I do feel like with Caleb Williams at times, he forces the Mahomes stuff a little bit. Where I want to be like, Mahomes never forced this stuff. He just played the game, and he tried to do it the right way. And then it became, oh, wait, I'm kind of getting comfortable and somebody's hanging on me. I still think I can throw the sidearm 40 yards down the field, right?
Yeah.
So like, he grew into that.
Uh-huh.
I do feel like a Caleb Williams at times is trying to live up to being that guy already.
Yes, I do think
and
that.
Sometimes that affects and makes some of these, you know, decisions a little iffy for sure.
There are plays, and I don't know if in the Notre Dame game as much, but definitely in the Arizona game, where you watch and right at the snap, he's got a 7 to 10 yard gain.
Right.
Like, crosser over the middle.
Yeah, right.
And
it's
he doesn't
easy.
Care. He doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't take it. He's like,
he's looking for
something
more. Bigger.
I want more.
Yeah.
And so he does that a lot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It was fun to watch, though.
Cool.
What a great athlete. And so that'll be interesting to see how he responds from that humbling experience at South Bend. All right, let's get into it. We said Larry Zonka is drinking.
Oh.
At least he is posting about drinking here. Pop the champagne.
Cheers, baby.
We have
there
no
they
more
are.
Undefeated team.
Look at that.
That can't be a current picture of tonight, right? They didn't just all assemble. Like, they whipped out the bat signal. They go, guys, the 49ers are down.
I don't think so. I don't know how many of those guys are actually still alive, too.
That
would be another thing. Sorry for the negative ghost or the negativity there. I questioned all those things. But either way, he's letting you know like he does every year.
Yes.
You know, he usually puts out a picture of him opening up a champagne bottle or he's pouring champagne. And he should. It's a special thing for, you know, his career, his teammates, his friends to go end undefeated in the NFL.
What was it, 51 years ago now?
Yeah, in 1972. Right.
So Miami
1972.
Dolphins last undefeated
went
team.
To the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. They lost 71, perfect in 72, won in 73, right? And one of the greatest teams we've ever seen in the sport. We know there's only been one team that's really threatened them, and that was the 2007 Patriots. Today, they get to celebrate a little early. They get a little Halloween
early
gift here, and now they can just chill and watch ball.
Pete is telling me that picture was from 1980, so no, that was not from tonight. I actually didn't say that, but it did kind of look like it might have been from 1980. So let's go through the two teams that lost. So I guess who wins that DraftKings bet that we had, right? Like who? I guess the 49ers lost first, but that's because they played earlier. Is that a push? Because it's probably the game week, right? It's not the time
of day. Yeah, I
would
think it's the week. It's not actually the time of the day, right? That wouldn't be fair to the bettors there. But it certainly didn't I will say this flat out. When I heard Deshaun Watson wasn't playing, I was pretty much like, well, chalk it up. The 49ers are going to win the football game. I didn't think it was going to be easy. I did not that. Like, I wasn't like, oh, wow, they're not going to steamroll them. I mean, the Browns, as we know, the D is real, right? Jim Schwartz is smart and creative. They can run the football so they can stay on the field and chew up a little clock that way, which we know is always big for the team that's the underdog in these type of matchups. But, like, the game was a little bit shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
So let's start. Yeah, let's start right there with the Browns defeating the 49ers 19-17. We'll get to the Eagles here in a second. They could have won this game, right? Jake Moody, the rookie kicker, they drafted in the third round.
No doubt.
Missed a 41-yarder.
Yep.
I'm a little upset at the conservative. I'm never a fan of settling for 40-plus-yard field goals,
right,
especially with a rookie kicker on the road in a stadium that both kickers were having trouble making some field goals there. And so maybe you can get into that later, but continue with your point and your big takeaway
from
this
one. Well, just off that right away, like I think around the NFL, like 41 yards now is looked at as like a chip shot.
I get it.
Right? But I understand this. Obviously, it's not. And we saw a number of 37 and 38-yard field goals and 41-yard field goals missed today. So, you know, maybe that'll make Shanahan rethink a little bit as far as that's concerned there. But, you know, I have no problem with that. I think, you know, the big thing is early on in the football game, I think the Niners had a chance to really put the Browns maybe in some tough spots to make them like, hey, you got to throw to come back on us. The first drive was really good. There was 30 yards and penalties by the Browns defense. You know, second drive, I think that was after the P.J. Walker throws a bad interception. The 49ers miss a field goal, okay? They stop Cleveland, get the ball back, go down for a field goal drive, and look impressive doing it again. 11-play, 76-yard drive. And you're going, well, this is just going to be kind of the slow, ugly, you know, beat down here. You know, when I looked at it at that point, I was like, oh, we're headed towards a 23-9 type of football game, right? Right? But around that moment, it totally switched. The Browns go on a big drive, 5-play touchdown drive, and it was all set up by a huge pass to Amari Cooper down the left-hand sideline. Lenoir, the corner for the 49ers, slipped and fell down. And I'm telling you, it almost felt like from that point on, the game changed a little bit. At least the momentum, or sure. maybe the belief from the Browns. Maybe that's what I should say. And from there on out, I mean, they pitched a shutout on the 49ers offense for the most part. I know the 49ers scored in the second half on the one play, 8-yard drive yeah. after the turnover, right?
Lenore interception.
Lenore interception.
Huge mistake. I mean, the Browns were up by 3 at that point.
Right.
We're in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's total. That switched the game once again. And that was a situation where the Browns could have been like, oh, crap. We did just blow
it. Looked like, again, I thought that was going to be another moment. Like, oh, well, there they blew the opportunity. The 49ers are going to put this away and see you later, right? But the theme of the day is that the Browns' defense just absolutely squashed the 49ers' offense from about the end of the second quarter on. You know, for a little perspective, the 49ers had 189 yards of total offense going into the half. They ended the game with 215. So they had 26 yards of offense in wow. the second half. Kyle Shanahan and the all-star offense of the 49ers. And I don't say that to be demeaning. I'm saying that more that, like, the Browns should be proud of what they did. Now, some of the injuries played, I think, in part to the 49ers'
oh,
offensive
sure.
struggles.
McCaffrey was out.
Right.
Debo was out
right.
early.
Trent Williams was out for a little while.
Did come back
right.
in, but,
right.
but you're right.
Yeah,
I mean,
so that messes up your flow, your
sure.
rhythm as a play caller, right? But I think the big thing is it was the first team all year that I felt like matched the physicality of the 49ers. All right, that would be the first thing I would say. Where I went, damn, they are not backing down, and they're throwing their bodies around every bit as equally crazy as the 49ers.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think jumped out to me more than anything, too, is they stopped the run game. And as you always know, when I wax poetically about the 49ers and their offense, all the Shanahan, I call them Shanahan specials, right? The trick plays, the screens, the reverses, the speed sweeps, the toss to Debo Samuel, all those things. They were non-existent in this game. They basically made the game like, no, Brock Purdy, you're going to have to drop back and pass to beat us. We're not going to let all these other tricks like kind of work on us today. And, of course, their pass rush was annoying to Purdy. And they have two really good corners down the field to make life hard and not give you a lot of open looks there. And, that to me was the big theme of the game, let alone their offense just being able to stay on the field, first downs, and chew up some clock. It was a well-played team football game, you know, altogether by the Browns.
Yeah, so in totality, how do we assess this performance from Brock Purdy in this one? 12 of 27, a 44% completion percentage, down those weapons, as we mentioned already.
Right.
125 yards, had the touchdown, had the interception. But if Jake Moody makes that field goal, he led a game-winning drive at the end of the game. As you see, the final drive, he was 3 of 7, 42 yards. The elements were not perfect for a quarterback. How do we come away from this game thinking about the quarterback?
Well, he's still really good. He struggled today. And he struggled, one, because a little bit of what you just heard me say. Like, some of those screens and boots and people are wide open. They give you their little rhythm for the day, a confidence. We always talk about basketball players. They see the ball go through the hoop once, and all of a sudden they start to go, I'm hot. I'm on fire. Give me the ball, right? And you're like, wait, that was a layup. Like, it wasn't a big deal. You're like, no, 30 feet away, boom, right? And it's the same thing for a quarterback at times. You get a few throws here or there. It doesn't matter how difficult they are. You walk away, and even if you threw three screens, and you go, damn, I'm 3 for 3 for 55 yards. Okay, it takes a little pressure. It takes a little edge. Makes things feel better for you. That never happened. The run game never happened. So then there, the play-action pass was not nearly as effective as we've seen in years or games past with them. I think the thing is with Brock Purdy, he's still really good. We know that. There was comparisons this all week to him and Tom Brady. Like, calm the fuck down, everybody. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Okay? He's a good player. There's no doubt about that.
Record-wise.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. He's a good player. But by no stretch of the imagination is he ready to carry the team like a superstar quarterback and be like, hey, guys, I know it's not working today, right? We talk about this all the time with certain guys. I know we're injured and it's not working. And don't worry, I got it, right? He's not ready for that. He's not. I don't know if he'll ever be that. He needs a little system help and stuff.
For sure.
When he starts to really click and do things good is when, hey, we're rolling and you give me all these plays and I can remember all the things Shanahan taught us like we talk about all the time, and he slowly starts to pick you apart here. But this was a game that the offense and the system didn't deliver as much. And then, you know, it's still – he's good at getting out of the pocket usually and all that too. But this with this pass rush, they were around him today.
Yeah.
And then I do think the last thing here, and this is the most important, the elements bothered him. You know, and the elements, I think, bothered both quarterbacks for a little while. So I'm not trying to point him out here. But I think there were some throws, especially in the second quarter, that were missed because it was wet, it was raining, it was cold, it was windy. And you could see the way the ball squirted out of his hand a few times where you went, oh, man, that didn't come out clean, right? He was having a problem controlling. So I think all those things played into it. And then as we always know, you know, this is where people got to get, like, used to the NFL. And the human emotions, right? The 49ers feel like, hey, we're the greatest thing in the world. We beat the Cowboys. We're the best. The Browns are going into the game going, shit, we got the 49ers coming to the game and we don't have Deshaun Watson. We have to play our best, right? And then people got to realize, too, like, you get a bunch of grown men who already think they're the shit, right? Like I'm the man. I can do anything, right? Mm-hmm. And you rally them together for the week. And, hey, we got to play good. You can get the group to believe, when especially the talent gap in the NFL is never that different, right? And I think the Browns just put up an unbelievable effort. And I was shocked even with their offense running the ball to the capacity it did today, too.
Yeah, and we should definitely give the Browns credit for all that they did in this one, because I think that this defense is proving to us that if they are not, you know, top one in the league. I mean, they're in the conversation for
best
defense
in the ball. Yeah, best in football. No doubt. I think the one thing we've hit on that only reason, little size and depth in their D-line. Those have been our two concerns. And as the game started out today, I was a little bit like, oh, man, the Browns are going to get worn down here. But they hung in there. They really did. And I think Schwartz, I'm excited to watch that film, had some creative things in his game plan that took away, I think, some of the bread and butter plays that Shanahan did. And the 49ers were sloppy. They weren't good on third downs. We talked about Purdy missing the ball. They had a ton of penalties, right? And, they had the fight, I think, brought to them for the first time all year.
Still maybe almost won it, though, with a missed field goal at the end and a controversial pass interference penalty on Gibson there,
some
too.
Some tough penalties at the end of that last field goal drive by the Browns. You had the Gibson, you know, unnecessary roughness hit, which he didn't look like he hit the guy in the head. So no. I don't think that should have been called.
Maybe it was bordering on defenseless receiver.
I know. I think defenseless receiver, though, you still got to hit him in the head. I think so. I do. And then the pass interference, I think that was on Lenore late in the game, right? Okay. You know, I had no problem with that. He held the guy coming out of the break. It wasn't the worst hold I've ever seen, but I could live with that. You know, either way, big win for the Browns, and they're 3-2, and watch out for them. There's no doubt. If Watson gets back and their pass game gets going, they got a lot of pieces to be a dangerous team in the AFC.
And the 49ers undefeated no more. The Philadelphia Eagles undefeated no more. The New York Jets, how about this? 20-14, they get the win. Israel DMS7 says, damn okay to the Jets' Tetris secondary. Jets defense won the game for them and have held all the elite quarterbacks in check. Really, at no point in this game did I really think the Eagles were going to lose.
No.
Until Jalen Hurts threw the pick at the end.
Agreed. I mean, it kind of felt like it was teetering on.
Like they're living dangerously.
They're living dangerously, but they're about to control the game. That's where I kind of kept going, oh, yeah, it's 14-3. Oh, okay, yep, they'll do something. You know, they'll get a stop and put it together. Oh, they held the Jets to a field goal. It's 14-6. Well, they're going to go down the score before the half. Right. I mean, it kind of felt like that all game long.
Yeah, it should have been 17-6 at least, maybe, but they fumbled, so it was 14-9 at the break.
Exactly right. But mistakes, turnovers, and an Eagles football team that, you know, we know is super talented. We also know they've won some games where we've gone, they didn't play their best football. And today, you know, they didn't play their best football, and they played a team that's crazy on defense, got speed, opportunistic. And they didn't play their best football, and they turned into, whoa, big plays for the Jets on the defensive side of the ball, turnovers, right? And I think that was the big thing of the day, no doubt about it, when you look at, like, how the game unfolded. The Jets' D stopping the run and making it a one-dimensional, no, you're going to have to throw the ball to beat us, I think was kind of the shocker of the day to me in this matchup.
Robert Sala said post-game that the Jets have faced a, quote, gauntlet of quarterbacks so far, and, quote, we have embarrassed all of them. So they have faced Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Mac Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts. I don't feel like they've embarrassed. Have they embarrassed all of them?
Well, they've had the best of all of them, I think, except for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott went 31 of 38 for like 260-something yards.
Seven incompletions. Embarrassing.
But I think other than that, he could say that. I mean, Mahomes with the three interceptions and was outplayed by Zach Wilson. Yeah, we didn't expect that. They're a handful, like we've seen, and to me, when like watching the game, the thing that jumped out to me, of course, the team speed they have, they're opportunistic, and you know, creating some of the turnovers. Like you said, the DeAndre Swift fumble seems like they were driving. That ends up for 3 points for the Jets, right? You know, there's another moment in the game, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith wide open in the middle of the field. The ball goes right through his hands on a second down. I mean, they're going to be down in the red zone. So there were some missed opportunities there. They throw a screen pass to Dallas Goedert. He catches it. As he's catching it, Jermaine Johnson hustles over there, kind of hits him as he's tucking it away, pops in the air. Quincy Williams gets the interception, right? Mm-hmm. We had the other tip pass, I believe, that Bryce Hall got, right?
Yep.
And then the one at the end where Hurts throws it off his back foot. But
yeah, the interceptions, that tied a career high.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Hurts. So that is embarrassing.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing.
Well, we've seen Hurts be in some of these moments here early in the year and come through. And we've gone, man, they don't always have to run the ball.
In this game, there were times where it was just like, man.
Yeah, he's great throws, great plays, right? Whatever. Yeah. The Jets still stuck to the game plan of, though, we're going to show people by the line of scrimmage, and then we're going to drop out. That, to me, was what they looked like early on. And early on in the football game, they blitzed a few times. So the Eagles had to respect that. Like, wait, we don't know if they're going to drop out or blitz, or we're not sure here, right? But that, to me, was the big thing. It looked like, oh, hey, we got, you know, seven guys to block. They had eight in the box. And then, of course, they would end up only rushing four, but other guys would drop out. And the Eagles, who were like, wait, we don't like to run the ball into this look. We'd rather throw it. They're throwing the ball, and the Jets are like, thank God you're throwing it, because now our pass rush can get after it, and we got seven guys dropping into coverage. Yeah. That, to me, looked like one of the things that gave the Eagles some problems throughout the day. Outnumbering them at pre-snap with the run game, and then post-snap going, we knew you would throw the ball when you looked like we were outnumbered. So they would drop back, and they were, you know, at times in Jalen Hurts' passing lanes, and certainly, you know, didn't allow as many big plays from the Eagles, I would say, as we usually see on the offensive side of the ball.
If you're watching on YouTube or Peacock right now, you're seeing the second half drive chart for the Eagles there. It's punt, punt, interception, missed field goal, interception, and then turnover on downs. And good job back there, Gabby and Morgan and Pete, pushing the buttons late on a Sunday night, as always. You know what time it is? It's time to go inside the numbers, powered by AWS. We'll take a deeper look at Jalen Hurts here. And so he was pressured on 21 of his 50 dropbacks. That's 42% in the loss against the Jets. Hurts had a 3-7 record in 10 career starts when pressured at least 40% of his dropbacks. And he's 25-5 when he's pressured on fewer than 40% of the drive. So we found the key. Pressure him 40% of the time, and you have a chance.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you now
easier
you just
said
need
than
the
done.
Jets D line. You need Lane Johnson to get hurt at right tackle, and then you go from there.
You need some things to fall in your favor, yes.
You do. Well, they got the Eagles into a one-dimensional game. I think that's rare. We haven't seen that a lot.
Yes.
Where it's like, wait, forget the run. We're just going to keep dropping back to throw. And the Jets are comfortable with that because they're going, damn, we got 6, 7, 8 pass rushers that we feel like can get after the quarterback at all times. Let alone we're smart in how we pass off our zone coverages. And we're not a team that when we do get pressure, we don't just go, hey, now it's man-to-man and you can just throw it up to A.J. Brown or run a slant to A.J. Brown. And right? So they don't give you some of those type of easy throws sometimes that you get when you get pressured as a quarterback. That's kind of the gift of the Jets defense for sure. But the big thing was that they didn't get overpowered by the run game. And then the play-action pass didn't become an issue. And then when Hurts is in shotgun and he play-action passes like we talk about all the time, teams have to stop. Wait, is it the run? Oh, wait, now I got to restart my motor and try to get after the quarterback again. Those are all things that always play into the favor of the Eagles in these matchups, and they didn't have that in their favor in this one today.
So Bryce Huff was awesome for the Jets in this one. Generated a career-high 9 pressures on 28 pass rushes in that win. You see 25.7% was his pressure rate. It is the highest pressure rate since 2002.
Wow.
For Next Gen Stats. So congratulations, Bryce Huff. They just got so many guys that can
exactly
do that.
Exactly right. They have freaky athletes all over the place. That's exact. They could send waves. Jermaine Johnson was awesome in the football game. He caused the fumble on Dallas Goedert. He also hit Jalen Hurts that tipped the knocked the ball up in the air, hit his arm when Bryce Huff got the interception. But then it's the under-the-radar guys that the national media or fan doesn't know about, right? We all know Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, who
right?
didn't
we
play.
We all know C.J. Mosley, right? We know those guys. But like you're saying, it's Bryce Huff. I mean, no, Quinnen Williams. But then it's, wait, Quinnen Williams' brother, Quincy?
Yeah.
Is he that awesome? Yeah, he's that awesome. He's flying around making tackles everywhere. It's Bryce Huff off the edge. You know, it's Franklin Myers doing a good job, you know, stopping the run game. So it's the second-tier guys they have on their defense that are really good too. And then just enough from the offense today. You know, again, one of the reasons the Jets aren't statistically better on the defensive side of the ball is the thing we always talk about. You know, the offense was so bad early in the year, it's like, of course the Jets' defense was going to break down. They were on the field all the time. You know, but even here today where it wasn't pretty, you know, the Jets, they stayed on the field a few times throughout the game to where it wasn't like, hey, the Eagles, fourth play, Eagles are back on here to just smash your face into the ground again here. And so there is somewhat of a semblance of an offense. A lot of it was ugly. It was ugly field goal drives and everything like that. But either way, it stayed on the field. And I think one of the biggest things of the day was the Jets almost were even in time of possession with the Eagles, which is almost a huge win in itself as well.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. I got to check that now. Yeah, 30 minutes for the Eagles. Yeah, 29 for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that would be – I bet you they knew if we could just stay in that ballpark, we'll have a chance to win the football game. And they did that. And Zach Wilson made no major mistakes. We saw the Jets play clean football, and we saw the Eagles, you know, not play clean football and miss a field goal that was easy to make, too.
Yep.
Another team that kind of missed one where you go, I think it was an easy one. I feel like it was like a 40-something one.
All right. That was Inside the Numbers powered by AWS. The Jets 3-3 now. They're in the mix.
Jets 3-3 with Aaron Rodgers before the year. And their first six games, which you could argue is the toughest first six games of football, if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, we're going, if they can get to the bye and be 3-3, that's perfect. And here they are without Aaron Rodgers being 3-3. So it's more than perfect. It's like, yeah, now they got something to build on. And, you know, I still, like today, I know it wasn't easy, but I still like their run game. And I think Zach Wilson is slowly but surely still gaining confidence here. And it wasn't easy against that Eagles defense. We know that. But I think the no mistakes and not fucking the game up is a huge positive for the Jets offense.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win. Defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
So those are the two games that Larry Zonka and his friends were celebrating on this Sunday. Moving over to defense wins, regular season games. We got four games to talk about here. And one of these games, we do want to talk about the quarterback as well. Damn okay, says Compass Traveler, to Jared Goff just being a great quarterback for the Lions. Lions beat the Buccaneers 20-6, the final score. Who knew that when we made that trade with the Rams 2 years ago, we were getting the better quarterback? We should have traded the first round picks. I love Matt Stafford. He's great. But Jared Goff has been awesome. 353 yards, I think, was the final count for him in this game. There it is, 30 of 44, 353, two touchdowns. Like, how has he transformed into this guy in this offense?
It would take a good 20-minute conversation, but I think it's pressure of the position he was in, the coaching staff cultivating, you know, different play from him, what their expectations were, pushing him a little bit like we talked about in the past, a little like, hey, this is open. You got to throw it in there, right? I think they changed his expectations. You know, I think they managed him a little bit at first to give him confidence. And now they play an offense that fits him, and he feels comfortable, and he's confident now, and he's fearless. That's the big thing. I mean, I'm blown away by your Lions. The Lions are like, I said it on Football Night in America tonight, like legit Super Bowl contender, legit. They're like we talk about with the Eagles a little bit. You know, we've talked about, like, they can win different ways. Oh, couldn't run today. The Bucs played, stopped the run. They said, okay, we're gonna lose. You're going to lose to Jared Goff throwing the ball. And he said, fine, you're going to lose then, right? And our defense will be damn good too. You can't run the ball against your defense. You don't let up very many big plays in the pass game. You guys harass the quarterback and get around him a lot. There's no schematical mess-ups anymore on the defensive side of the ball. It is complete football, and I think that's what I'm really impressed by with them. You know, as well as the Bucs D played and stopped the run and played five-man fronts, the Lions are like, so what? We got some other answers here, and we trust our guy to drop back and beat you. And he did that today.
It's their first four-game winning streak since 2016. That was the last time they made the playoffs. And their best start at 5-1 since 2011. We're talking one-seed territory here with the 49ers and Eagles, all 5-1.
They are absolutely right in their class. I just want everybody to know that. I'm not going to say I'm going to rank them better or make, like, they'd be one in my power rank or whatever.
They'd be in the same tier.
They're in a tier with them,
though. Wow.
I think it's fair to say. I do. As well-coached as they are, as big and physical as they are on both sides of the ball, the amount of ways they can beat you in the pass game. Did you see that one guy catch that long touchdown pass I told you to watch out for next week?
He did drop a pass also. He did, yes.
I didn't see the drop. Everybody told me it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it looked like. It was like a gone. Was like he gone?
It was like similar to the ones we've seen before where it's just kind of like it seems like the lack of concentration.
Like he's running as he's trying to catch the ball.
Yes, yes.
Right, okay. But either way, he catches a corner route. You saw the speed. He was by the guy by like 8 yards, right?
Yeah.
Goff guy actually threw the ball in a bad spot. He had to turn his body, catch it. But still, that's all we needed to see from your Lions. Look at me. I'm sitting here jumping on your team here
I'm
with
so
you now.
Happy.
What's going on here?
I'm so happy.
But, yeah. No, it's exciting to watch the versatility of the football team.
Look at this. Lions fans are tweeting us. The Lions are legit Super Bowl contenders right at you, Chris Sims.
That's right, baby.
One pride.
Hashtag one pride. I'm part of it. Woo! I am excited for that football team and the way the defense played on top of that.
Well, that's what I want to get to, too, because this is the defense wins. Because I think that as much as we broke down, and we did last Wednesday, the Lions offense and what they do there.
Oh, now you want me to break down the defense?
I do want
every podcast you want.
Because as Matt Casey tells us, they do really well on YouTube. The Lions fans show up to watch these videos, so I think we should do that. But that is almost more remarkable because we saw this coming with the offense. Last year there were signs. Amon-Ra St. Brown was becoming a premier wide receiver. They're going to be able to run the ball. The offensive line's awesome. The defensive transformation is almost more surprising for them.
I don't think there's any doubt, right? The defense was, of course, better at the end of the year. They were better than their 32 or 31 ranking, however they ended, right? But still, it was a major issue for their football team. They got depth up front. They got big people like we talk about where you're not going to push them around. You know, when they want to get big up front, they can put a bunch of 300-plus type of guys up there on the football field. You got a Aiden Hutchinson who can play the run as good as any edge defender in the game. And then, of course, he's one of the best pass rushers in football. So you throw that on top of, hey, your middle linebacker play is better this year too, right? And then your secondary is way better across the board. And I just think that, you know, Aaron Glenn found the way he wanted to play that made sense for the football team itself. And you're probably right. I probably do have to break down their defense a little bit and do something like that just to speak of it. But today, like, Bucs on third down, negative Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Bucs couldn't run the ball. It became about, can Baker Mayfield throw big passes down the field? Now, Evans dropped one that I saw for sure. Another one where Evans was open and Baker Mayfield got hit and the ball went in the air and got intercepted, right? I know, so it wasn't perfect, I know that. But either way, it was really damn good. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of weak spots to look at on this Lions defense, that's for sure.
Lions defense was rolling, and by the way, the Bucs need to just go permanently with the creamsicle. permanently.
It's like associated with losing, though. That's the problem, and that's why they can't do it. They went to Pewter and won the Super Bowl and became a team. And the Glazier family invented the color Pewter. So I don't think it's going anywhere. They invented it.
How do you do that?
They got with a bunch of colors, and they said, we're going to call this Pewter, and we own it.
They just mixed a bunch of colors together, trademarked it.
But they trademarked it, right. Pewter is their color.
They own the color Pewter.
They own the color.
Let's make our color a no-nat. What's the color for Chris Sims unbuttoned? Can we do that? Yeah. Yeah. Right? We'll put our trademark on it. So big win for the Lions. Defense looked good there against the Bucks. Big win for the Jaguars. Defense looks good against the Colts. Gardner Minshew was back in Jacksonville, throwing to Jaguars again. It was like old times, right? It was just like, hey,
I know you guys.
Remember this.
Here's the ball. There you go.
He's open. I mean, that legit.
You were my buddy.
Like, what if that did happen in your brain, right? You're just like, I've thrown to these jerseys before, and there they are over the middle. He did throw three interceptions in the game. This was domination by the Jaguars. Maybe the most dominant victory. It doesn't look like that in the final score. Colts added a couple late.
Yeah, but it was, it was 31-13 in the fourth quarter, right? It was 31-6, actually, in the fourth quarter at one point.
Look at their last three games here, too. Falcons versus the Bills, and now the Colts.
Well, it's actually funny that it's been put this way. I wanted to say this tonight on Football Night in America a little bit. But to me, the Jaguars are the AFC version of the Lions. That's kind of what I look at them like, right?
Which normally is like the worst thing you can say about a team.
It ain't about these two. No more. I mean, this is opposites day, I guess, here a little bit. But I feel the same way about the Jaguars as I do as the Lions a little bit. Can beat you a lot of different ways. There's balance on offense, right? Trevor Lawrence didn't have his best day, but made a few plays. They got in the end zone. They can run the football. That's the big thing. And their defense, to me, that's the other thing. That's starting to look like really legit. Right? You know, it's real big-time talent in the front. It's creative coaching to go along with it. We've talked about their linebackers that I like in Oluokun and, the kid that was drafted, Devin Lloyd, that was drafted in the first round 2 years ago. I think the secondary is as good as anybody in football, right? And then you add that on a day where, hey, we harass Gardner Minshew. We're around him. He had some stupid decisions. You know, I think – 1 point, in like the second quarter, Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss, I think, were the leading receivers for the Colts. So that just shows you that nobody was open downfield. There was no pass protection to be had. And the game started that way. Josh Allen strip sacked Gardner Minshew on the first drive of the game. And Gardner Minshew looked uncomfortable and like nobody was open and people were around him throughout the day.
Travis Etienne broke a couple on the offensive side there, too, for the Jaguars. They're 4-2. It's their best start since 2007. They take a one-game lead now in the AFC South, and Indianapolis now has not won in Jacksonville since 2014. They just can't win there.
Indianapolis has not beat Jacksonville? That's not right.
In Jacksonville since 2014.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I'm thinking of the other way around. Right. Yes you're right. Okay, good. I got you. Made you nervous for a second. You were right.
This has been triple checked. Pete would never do that to us either. Not this late at night. Actually, this is the night it would happen. Right. We're all a little groggy here. But Jaguars 4-2, right? I mean, I feel like there's one more thing that we should talk about with this game.
Jaguars capitalize. Oh, yes. They can make big plays, right? They can turn it over, and they can flip the field in a hurry. And what were we going to say? Go ahead.
It's the other side. Anthony Richardson. We heard today that maybe
surgery. Maybe
I know.
Done for the year. I know.
I mean, this is kind of coming into this year. You figured it was going to be a learning year. And that's the thing that would suck the most, is that if this year is going to be a wash, you'd want it to be a wash with Anthony Richardson getting some reps and some playing time. And so that would be a real bummer if he can't play the rest
of the
year.
Huge bummer. I mean, he's the future. We know that. And not only, like, the year, our expectations were already surpassed by how he looked. He looked better. And you were going to go, yeah, it's a learning year, and they're going to be in every football game and maybe surprise us and hang around the playoff picture with a rookie quarterback. That's what was exciting. And Jonathan Taylor just got back, and we're starting going, hey, wait, they're showing signs of running the ball, and you couple him with Anthony Richardson's ability to run, like they're going to be able to do some dangerous things here. But, yeah, that's not going to happen, and they got to do this the right way here. because this is a big moment for their franchise and is going to affect, you know, Anthony Richardson has the chance to be their starting quarterback for the next 10 or 12 years. So they got to make sure they do right by him here.
Still not certain if he's going to elect for the surgery that would sideline him for the rest of the year, but we'll keep our eye on that for sure. Bengals, their defense steps up in a defensive slugfest versus the Seattle Seahawks. 17-13 was the final score here. Geno Smith, tough day for him. No touchdowns, two interceptions, was sacked four times. But this game also hanging in the balance late. And then in my notes, I just kept writing down the names Hendrickson, Hubbard, Reader, and then B.J. Hill, defensive line. I mean, that's basically what saved the game at the end here for the Bengals.
No doubt. I mean, two goal line stands at the end of the football game where the Seattle Seahawks come away with no points, right? Seattle Seahawks with that type of weaponry, you know, having that many red zone failures, one touchdown out of five red zone trips. I mean, yeah, that's kind of embarrassing. There's no doubt about that. And it's a Bengals defense that we know and you and I have talked about in previous podcasts where they haven't been at their best. They've let up big plays. But I think the big thing was, you know, one, yeah, the Seahawks couldn't run the ball. But two, more importantly, like you said, the pressure around Geno Smith and then Lou Anarumo, the D coordinator of the Bengals and the defensive secondary, they must have had a great feel for how the Seahawks want to play. Because even the plays where Geno had time, you went, damn, he doesn't like what he's seeing. He's looking here. He's going across the field. And then it was like, oh, crap, nobody's open. And then, of course, by that time, he was, you know, running around and trying to avoid Hendrickson and Hubbard and that group there. Not a pretty day on the offensive side of the ball for really either football team, right? You know, the game started off with a nice drive by the Seahawks. It started off with, hey, have the Bengals been listening to Chris Sims on Button with Ahmed Fareed? They're becoming masters of the short passing game, right? They were really, like, surgical. And I was sitting in the viewing room going, damn, look at them. They're going to just chip away with 1 4-yard throw after another and become so good at that, you're going to have to worry about it. But then something changed, and I don't know exactly. It looked like maybe Seattle played more man-to-man, and they finally just said, all right, wait, we got a feel for what routes you're running today and all that. We're not going to just let you sit here and dink and dunk us down the field the whole day. And that, to me, is what looked like it changed a little bit. But either way, it was, you know, the Bengals defense with the big plays and the big moments that really got it done.
And, Chris, I totally agree with the last thing you said right there, which I actually don't know what it was because we had a mic difficulty. Yeah. We had to stop down the pod. Now we're back. What you said, I do agree with wholeheartedly. And I did want to make these points about the Bengals right now. It's their first consecutive wins of the season.
Right.
And they are 3-0 versus the NFC West. They are 0-3 versus the AFC. They play the 49ers coming up in week number 8.
That's an interesting
quirk.
It is really quirky, right? They're still a scary football team. I know that. Still not playing their best, but they're making do, right? I mean, not a lot of big plays in the pass game at all today. I think, you know, either way, though, the defense with – not only the interception that set up the field goal late in the football game to give them the 4-point lead, you know, the Mike Hilton interception, Seahawks make a big play. They're kind of down there in the red zone. They got a slot fade. He makes a great interception, kind of seeing what's coming. He gets it, ends up no points for the Seahawks there. The Bengals do have a lot of playmakers throughout. So that's where it's hard to give up on them. Yep. Like I was telling you last week, you know, our Arizona game wasn't quite as good as I expected it when I turned on the film, but they got it done. And I have a feeling it's kind of going to be the same thing in this one here. But they're still dangerous and scary, and we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, offensively, I mean, it's like the Seahawks got a feel early on, okay, this is what we're going to do, and they squashed the Bengals after that.
Yep.
I mean, the Bengals, if it isn't for the Cam Taylor interception return, 4-play, 0-yard drive for a field goal, right? I mean, they got nothing to speak of in the second half on the offensive side of the ball, and that's unacceptable. I know Seattle's creative and got some talent on the defensive side of the ball. Seattle needs their right tackle back, right? That's the big thing. They got Cross back. He's playing. The right tackle, he not playing, was an issue for them all game long today, and that was one of the guys that I constantly saw in the face of Geno Smith in the fourth quarter when they were down there in the red area. We'll see where it goes. And the Bengals are still a work in progress, but you know, I'm certainly not discounting them or anything like that.
Work in progress on the offensive side. It's why we have them in this defense wins regular season game section here.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it back to that.
They beat the Seahawks by 4. So the Ravens in this section as well. They scored 24 against the Titans. 24-16 was the final in this one. But I think for the second week in a row, the Ravens left just so many points on the field.
That's the point.
So many field goals.
Right.
Eric DePasta says to you, is it just me or is it frustrating that Todd Monken doesn't keep his foot on the gas after the Ravens are up? Has to be a Harbaugh thing. We know he loves time of possession, but this is precisely what sparks teams to come back.
Yeah.
Or is it a different concern that you have with the offense?
No, I don't know if it's like they take the foot off the gas pedal. It's just they're not consistent on that side of the ball yet. You know, they're close. That's where I come away with the day-to-day and like, you know, I think a lot of the same sentiments you're talking about and what our listener is talking about here is where I just go, there's things and periods of the game where I look at the Ravens and go, they're one of the best teams in football. The way their defense can shut you down for a period of time, right? I mean, they can get after the quarterback. They're extremely well coached in the secondary. You know, usually they stop the run really well. I know Derrick Henry broke some big ones today. You know, they can play man coverage when they got to. They got some creative blitzes to go along with it. We see the run game is coming along in Baltimore. The pass game is too. It's close. You know, I still look at the Ravens here and go, yeah, they're 4-2. They could be 6-0, and I still think they're kind of a work in progress. But I think their potential as a football team is one of the best in the game. I don't think there's any team the Ravens are going to play all year that are going to be overmatched by. They're big up front on both sides of the ball. You know, I do think it's going to be consistency, and can they get consistent big plays in the pass game from their offense as we go forward? Lamar, I thought, was pretty sharp throughout the day. I know he threw the one interception. That was about the only play I looked at to go, ooh, that was a problem. Yeah. And then, you know, them getting close and not scoring touchdowns, I think, is what, you know, our listener Eric DePasta is talking about, too. It's not taking your foot off the gas pedal. Tennessee's pretty well coached on their defensive side of the ball, too. It's hard to score touchdowns on them, especially kind of where you guys were on the field. You get down there towards inside the 15, inside the 10. It's hard to score touchdowns there. And Tennessee, you know, did a good job keeping them out and making Justin Tucker kick field goals.
Yeah, for Lamar Jackson, completed 70% of his passes in the game. That was not the case for the quarterbacks on the other side. Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis combined to throw complete 12 of 21 passes, 150 yards, sacked 6 times, 1 interception. Tannehill did have to leave the game, injured his right ankle earlier in the game. He had surgery on that same ankle last season, so that's a bit of a worrying sign there for Ryan Tannehill. Malik Willis came in the game and did not find life any easier going up against this defense, and so not a whole lot. A Derrick Henry touchdown that made it a 5-point game, but I don't think it was really ever that close.
No, it always felt like Baltimore had control of the football game, right? I think that's the big thing. I think the thing that I'd maybe look at more than anything is the point where Tennessee had a chance to maybe get control of the game in their own way, right? They come out in the second half. It's 18-13, right? They got the field goal. Then they got the interception from Lamar, right, if I got this right. And then they got a one-play, 25-yard, or it was a three-play. There were some penalties there. But a one-play, 25-yard rush by Derrick Henry to make it 18-13. They stopped Baltimore. They got the ball back, okay? And it was 3rd-and-1 at midfield, basically. And Ryan Tannehill tried to force the ball downfield. Like, that's where Tannehill's been frustrating this year. We know their offense isn't good. It's not on Tannehill. The receivers aren't special. We know that. But he's, like, forgotten who they are and lost his patience a few times during the year. And that, to me, was the moment of the game where it switched there for them, too. It's 18-13. They had all the momentum. They're on cusp of field goal territory. It's 3rd-and-1. He had Derrick Henry open in the flat, hit him. You're going to get a first down, keep the pressure on Baltimore. Instead, it becomes an interception, and Baltimore went down and kicked a field goal. and made it 21-13, and that's kind of where you felt like, oh, man, it's going to be tough sledding for Tennessee, especially when you saw Ryan Tannehill go out after that interception. That was it for his day.
Titans are now 0-4 outside of Tennessee this season. This game well outside Tennessee out in London.
Just a bit outside.
With that Ravens win, they're now in first place in the AFC North. But I do wonder what happened to my guy John Harbaugh. He used to be gunslinger, fourth down, go for it, roll the dice, down by your goal line, ready to punch it in. He's not like that anymore.
Well, I think in this game, like, right, they had one down there where they were close and they kicked the field goal.
They had a couple that were
I think there was two. I think there was. But I think, I don't have a problem with that. You know, to me,
I know you don't.
Well, that's how you end up losing a game where we go, hey, they all played Tennessee and somehow they lost. They lost 19-17.
That was last week against Pittsburgh.
Well, okay, but don't, like, again, like you just said, we just laid it out. It's Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans offense, right? Just make them work. Make them earn it. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't.
Yeah.
I know it's shocking, and I think even Kurt Warner and them, Rich Eisen, during the game itself were like, damn, man, this day in the NFL, it's weird to see teams kick a field goal like this. But it was a necessary thing, and it's 4th and 5.
Yeah, let's 14-9, call this live.
Buffalo.
Tyrod Taylor, last chance.
Tyrod Taylor over the middle.
Moves up in the pocket.
He got it.
Oh, complete to the 15-yard line.
No timeout, though. They got to clock the ball.
I think you just run it to Saquon Barkley to the 1-yard line.
Right, like they did at the end of the first half and screwed that up. All right. 9 seconds.
Tyrod
Taylor and the Giants are going to have a chance to win the football game.
Look at Dayball saying, everyone just settle down right now.
So just so everybody knows, and you'll know this anyways, but
let's Buffalo, live it together. They'll see how we lived this.
Buffalo
moment.
Missed a field goal here that went just over the upright.
Jalen Hyatt, nice.
That could have gave
there.
Them the 8-point lead. Yeah, it was wide right, which is a very familiar thing to Buffalo Giants fans.
too soon. That's way too soon.
It's not that soon. It's like we got 42 years later.
we got 7 seconds on the play clock right now. Dayball's a little nervous. Uh-oh. They're not going to – oh, timeout Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Ooh, wow.
Well, they want to see what they're going to do. They call that Kodak in the NFL. Kodak, let's take a picture, and now let's talk about what we saw, how they lined up, and see if we can maybe figure out what they're going to do or how they're going to play this year.
I don't know. It didn't look like the Giants were all that close to getting that play off, and there are only 4 seconds left on the play clock. But, all right, this is going to be impossible now. All right, let's try to get into this next section real quick. Wide receiver difference makers. This is the Dolphins beating the Panthers. 42-21, the final score, and I think you know who we're going to talk about here as the difference maker. A guy you said on Football Night in America should be the number one MVP candidate right now, Tyreek Hill.
I mean, first off, he's the human highlight film. How many Sundays have we come in here and not talk about Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill, or I'm on Football Night in America and we show 3 or 4 highlights and we all laugh and go, isn't he the fastest guy you've ever seen in your life? Set it up.
Pause. 9 seconds to go. 2nd and 10. Tyrod Taylor back to pass.
Uh-oh.
Moves up in the pocket. He's going to run it.
No, you
He's going to try to get out of bounds.
You better get out.
Get out of bounds. He does.
Oh, my gosh. 2 seconds.
They held on that 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Here we go. Dayball comes down to one more play. What do you call here if you're Dayball on that offensive
gosh,
side?
Gosh, I would want to call something to Darren Waller down the middle of the field is what I would look at. High, it's up to where he can go up and get it, kind of in the back of the end zone. That's what I would look for. So right now they're in an empty set. Oh, yeah.
Another timeout.
Buffalo's going to call a timeout again.
Okay, here we go. Back to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
6 catches, 163 yards. I told you this was going to be impossible.
Oh, that's great.
6 catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown. And also, like, is it just every running back that is in this system right now? And I know Raheem Mostert is fast. And actually, when he's healthy, he does look like one of the best running backs in Kyle Shanahan's system and this system too. But Achan's out. It's just like they get people in space, and they seem to have everyone that can make a play.
That's right. You know, they've accumulated great talent. They've accumulated great speed. And Mostert's staying healthy. Like you said, Mostert's always been super talented. It's been health that's been his whole issue. And, yeah, with the way they play, he fits it. It's an open open field a lot of the time. So it's like, hey, here's a gap. And as long as you'll stick your foot in the ground and go downhill at 1,000,000 miles per hour, something good can happen. And Mozart's like, I can do that. And he does. And let's set it up again.
2 seconds. Down 5. Touchdown or bust for the Giants.
3 receivers to the top, 2 to the bottom. They're going to go Waller down the middle.
Steps up in the pocket over the head.
P.I.
But we have pass interference.
Oh, my gosh.
On Darren Waller, just like you said.
Wow.
So they'll be able to run one more play from the 1 yard line. Josh Allen's shaking his head. He said, that's not P.I.
It looked like it was a lot of contact.
Pass interference.
The way things have looked in the NFL as of late, with fourth downs late in the game, we've seen a lot of contact like that not called there. But to me, that was the right call. That is. I mean, again, you can't call the game one way for 58 minutes and then the last 2 minutes go, well, we're not going to call it that way anymore.
Christian Bernard.
He runs a little, like, acted like he was going to, like, try to run a post over the top of the linebacker. I mean, Bernard held him the whole time.
Yeah, it's definitely a hold. Right? And, yeah, he
never let go of his jersey.
He never was not touching him.
No.
Yes.
That was a great play call. They knew they were going to get quarters and have the middle linebacker. They can run or pass, but they're gonna pass it, play action.
Back to pass over the middle. Waller off
no.
of his fingertips, incomplete. Ladies and gentlemen, the Buffalo Bills hang on to win.
Wow.
At home. Is that the play you want?
It's not a bad – I don't mind that play.
Ball back of the end zone.
Yeah,
Darren Waller.
You know, it was a little, like, a little bit of a token play action, which they had to still respect the run there, right? They're on the one-yard line. And, you know, Teron Johnson on the coverage. There was definitely some bumping and some holding again there. But, no, I have no problem with that play call. I don't think there's anything wrong with that there. Giants, valiant effort. Giants, well, we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
No, talk about it right now.
All right, we'll talk about it right now.
Let's finish it right now.
You know, one, great game plan. Saquon Barkley makes a difference for the Giants offense, right? Okay, because you do have to respect him in the run game. He's a one-play guy, and what I mean by that is he can take one play to the house. So teams have to go, well, they might run with that guy that can go one play to the house. We got to, like, protect that a little bit. It opens up the field a little bit. Tyrod Taylor played really well. The Bills, for whatever reason, seemed like they got caught in some man-to-man situations tonight, and that was holding on Teron Johnson. They should have called PI again, honestly. All right, I know I picked the Bills to win the game and all that, but that was holding. There was. They should have called it again. But you know, Tyrod takes care of the ball. They caught the Bills in man-to-man a few times through the night. He made some nice plays in that. And then the other thing here, you know, which is – I don't know what to think of Buffalo. Like, we're seeing it with Buffalo. We see some good games this year of a little balance, but here we are tonight back to a game of, no, it's got to be Josh Allen. You know, they ran the ball a little bit with Cook.
Yeah,
but it was hard
carries,
to make plays.
71 yards.
Yeah, it was hard to make any big plays in their game here tonight. And I think a lot of that is what we've talked about with the Giants. Wink Martindale is an awesome defensive coordinator. And the way he plays, you have to protect against the blitz. Because he always blitzes. But, like, tonight, he went, I'm going to show the blitz a lot and never really blitz. Or not going to blitz a lot. And, you know, so therefore, you're calling plays. So, hey, we got to block this and block this and block this. And it might be a little conservative with your routes downfield because you're thinking, well, they're going to blitz and we'll have some open area in the field to throw the ball. And then they all drop out and do something like that. And, you know, Josh Allen certainly never got in a rhythm and, you know, did not look like the Josh Allen superstar that we know.
Well, it's kind of good that we did this here, too, because this kind of fits into the wide receiver difference makers section, even though there wasn't a whole lot of action. I mean, Stephon Diggs was targeted 16 times in this game, and this is something that you have long said, and if you're a listener to this pod, it's just they need more weapons on the offensive side. He had 16 targets, 10 catches. The next closest in targets was Dawson Knox with 6.
Yeah, he had 3 catches for 17 yards.
Yeah.
Right? We had Gabe Davis with 4 targets. He had 3 receptions for 21 yards. Yeah, that's the problem. We just don't see enough of a consistency there. You know, it is positive. They ran the ball. They ran the ball better in the second half than I realized, so I didn't mean to say that. Right? But still, struggles throughout the night. We saw an interception by Josh Allen on the tip pass by Okereke, who played awesome. He was all over the field for the Giants tonight. He was really good. But, yeah, the Giants' defense is a handful. We know that. It's the offense that we question, and actually tonight was one of the better offensive performances of the year. Dave Ball had a little feel for what McDermott likes to do and had some answers for it, and they executed about as good as they have all year, I think, the Giants.
Rams a little beat up, obviously, on the defensive side still. Will be maybe for most of the year, if not all the year, for some of those guys.
Did we finish Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins, really? We got to finish that.
I don't
know
what – okay, what else do we want to talk about in that one? Because it seems for the most part – I mean, this is a game where –
Well, you talked about Mostert, the run game special.
Yep.
Tyreek is special.
Yep.
Yep, we know that. I will say we got to talk about Bryce Young looked as good as he looked all year. It wasn't easy in the second half, right? You know, again, he's a guy that does not have a lot of weapons and help around him, But early on in the football game, like, Bryce Young looked the part. Where I know that Jason Garrett and I and Devin and the guys in the viewing room, we were like, well, man, that was a good throw.
Okay.
And, ooh, that was, you know, slick right there. So I would say that. That
Are you
was
sure you're
most
not grading
consistent.
On a, grading on a curve there, but it was legit impressive.
It
to,
was.
To you guys.
It was legit impressive. It really was. Yeah, I've questioned Bryce Young and how he looks. And there's still moments in this game where I went, man, when the pocket collapses, it's a little scary for Bryce Young, right? I think we all do. But, you know, again, also, he doesn't have a ton of help around him. And the other thing I'll just say is it's hard to feel how good the Dolphins' defense is. Right? Mm. I know they're good. Are they going to be a defense, though, that lets up a lot of yards and just relies on making plays? Or are they going to be a team here at some point that starts to really shut down teams and limits the yards? I don't know. I'm guessing it's going to be the other way around.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, hey, we get plays. We're going to get plays against us, but we're going to make plays on the defensive side of the ball and get the ball back to our offense. I kind of feel like it's that type of football.
Yeah, it's
game.
Almost like the NFL version of the air raid in those
yeah,
teams that is the defense is very tough for them just because of the way the offense plays. Although the time of possession was pretty even in this game between the Panthers and the Dolphins. So yeah, certainly, I mean, they got the big names, they got the studs on the defensive side, but do give up some yards and were not great, I don't think. Oh, they were pretty good on third down in this one, so stepped up and made some big plays.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on now to another game that featured another wide receiver that we have seen do this before. Thankfully, he's back in the NFL, healthy again, doing it again. Cooper Kupp, 7 catches, 148 yards, a touchdown. Kyren Williams ran it for over 100, well over 100 for the Rams, too, that found a little spark in the running game, and they rolled over a Cardinals team that has given some other teams some issues this year, especially on the defensive side. 26-9, the final score. The Rams slowly becoming one of the more impressive and surprising teams that we didn't expect a whole lot from when the season started.
No, they're to me one of the surprises of the year. I know we talk about them a lot with Stafford. He's impressive. Today was impressive with big plays. You know, it was ugly early on in the football game. I mean, it was ugly. It was the Cardinals going on some long, ugly field goal drives, yeah. Right? The Rams fumbled a punt return kind of down in their own area. The Cardinals got a 6-3 lead on that. They had a 9-3 lead at one point, right? Another ugly drive before the half. And then, to me, one of the big moments of the game here, you know, at the end of that, it's 9-3 Arizona, and before the half was over, right, the Rams got the ball back with 43 seconds. They were definitely pushed back against their own goal line. And I don't know the exact time here. I know I'm in the ballpark. They leave Cooper Kupp one-on-one down the right sideline with their rookie corner, who we've talked about, who does a good job, 13, Clark. They can't. Huge bomb, sets up a field goal. They go into the half 9-6 with momentum, right? They were losing 9-3. Now it's, oh, hey, 9-6. Yeah, let's go. We didn't even play our best football. They come out in the second half, and you know what showed up? A run game. The Rams, all of a sudden, the second half, right from the get-go, Kyren Williams in the run game started gashing the Arizona Cardinals, and then you sprinkle in a few big throws for Matthew Stafford here and there, and that was the football game, along with some, you know, Dobbs mistakes and an inconsistent Arizona Cardinals offense in the second half.
Yeah, Rams outscored the Cardinals 20-0 in the second half. Under Sean McVay,
yeah. They
are now 12-2 versus Arizona.
That's pretty impressive.
I saw Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline for USC.
At USC, right?
Yeah.
I know. We were talking about him today. Yeah, he's one of the offensive coaches there.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't wearing a headset. Didn't seem like he was talking to Lincoln Riley much. Quality control.
Right. Maybe. I thought he was like some, like a, you know, not a offensive coach, but a guy that advises. What do they call that? There's a word they have for
advisor.
An advisor. You're funny.
Yeah, consultant.
Consultant. Maybe. That's what I was thinking. Offensive consultant.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, he was doing a little bit of that. I hear you. But, yeah, hey, the Rams sitting at 3-3. I'm still not sitting here going they're going to go to the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be a pain in the butt with every team they play. They're fast on defense. Raheem Morris, they're well coached. They're very creative, and they still have a front four that can F the play up a little bit,
yeah.
Right? So you couple that with a quarterback like Stafford and the way they can kind of pick you apart in the passing game, you know, and they're tough. We know that. It's got a battle-tested culture there to where, yeah, I still don't look at it and go, oh, man, the Rams shocked me. The Rams have shocked me that they're 3-3. I had very low expectations. I'm still not ready to go, oh, they're going to the playoffs. But I feel like any team they play, we're going to sit there and go, damn, it's 14-10 late in the third quarter. The Rams are hanging around, right? Just like they did with the Eagles, just like they did the 49ers. It kind of seems like they're going to beat the teams they should beat and probably lose closely to the teams that are better than them.
This was a Cardinals team that's lost 12 of their last 13 dating back to last season, but has played better at times this year. They do, though, drop to 1-5.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Time now for Give Me the Headlines, presented by Hyundai. We'll start with the Vikings and Bears.
Well, NFC I know North. You don't like the Bears.
I don't.
Right? You don't like the Bears,
don't
right?
Don't like the Vikings all that much, but I like them more than the Bears.
Yeah, I don't mean I'm with you. I like to stick up for Kirk Cousins. I like too. When the Vikings don't do good though, cuz it makes my other work partner Mike Florio angry and in a bad mood and he gets pissy.
Yeah.
So I do like watching them struggle, cuz I like watching him squirm a little bit. But my headline for the Vikings defeating the Bears 19-13 is UGLY. You ain't got no alibi. That was ugly. It was ugly. I mean, it was ugly.
It was ugly.
Game, all right. It really was. I think from any, you know, standpoint, team view, whatever you want to talk about there, not a lot of consistent good offensive play by either football team. You know, quarterback play just okay.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot there today to look at and go, oh, that was a fun game. Kirk Cousins was efficient for the most part, but no big plays. They missed Justin Jefferson, as we thought. You know, Fields showed some signs of magic, but they never really got going, and then he got hurt, and that threw things off kilter. The Vikings' defense is better than years past. It's better than it was last year. It's just, you know, they're not finding a way to win some of these close games that we saw, but they found a way today.
So you mentioned that Justin Fields went out. He was sacked, then hurt his thumb, I believe is what it is.
Yeah.
And so then Tyson Bagent came in, Division II
Shepherd
to the NFL.
Right.
You don't see that very often.
No,
very
you don't.
Rare.
Yeah, he had a great preseason. Like we talked about him a little bit.
He looked
then.
Pretty good, yes.
He did. He played really well.
In this game, not so much.
No.
But
got you know, put into a tough spot, right? He got strip sacked, if I remember right. He got strip sacked one time. All right, that was big. And then does the thing you see all young quarterbacks do. Throws an interception late in the game. Thinks he's got more room and space in the pocket than he does because he hasn't played. And he certainly isn't used to the NFL starter-like pace, right? Like, it's cool when you play against the third stringers in the preseason. And you're like, whoa, the pocket's collapsing. I can still get it off. You know, and the regular season, week 6, when you go, oh, the pocket's collapsing, you don't get it off. You don't. They're there already, okay? So, and that's what you kind of saw on the late interception that I believe that was Byron Murphy that got. Thought he had more time, ends up the guy gets right in his way as he's throwing the ball. Ball's underthrown, intercepted that way. But, yeah, ugly football game throughout. I mean, it was ugly field goal drive by the Vikings. You know, ugly field goal drive by the Bears. We had Kirk Cousins' lateral fumble and you went, oh, okay, the Bears got the ball in a short field. Here they go. They're going to get the momentum. And then Justin Fields throws a really bad interception right off of that.
Yes.
Then the Vikings go down and get a TD, 12-6. And then we had the strip sack fumble of Bajan, where Hicks did a really good job picking it up down the sideline, scoring a touchdown. And that was kind of all she wrote at 19-6.
That sealed it.
The Bears aren't good enough, especially with Bajan as their quarterback, to come back from a 13-point deficit.
So Vikings get their second win of the season, this one without Justin Jefferson, who's on IR, going to be out for a while. So don't know where either of these teams are going. Yes, Vikings do improve, though, to 2-4. Our other game that we need a headline for, Raiders defeat the Patriots 21-17. This is the third week in a row that we've had the Patriots in Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai.
Well, you didn't know Quentin Tarantino came out with a new movie?
I didn't hear that.
You didn't know that? No. It's out. It's live right now. It's a big viewing. It's a big talking point. It's called Kill Bill Volume 3. I mean, okay? I mean, holy shitballs, all right? We're going
back to the well.
Back to the well here, but I don't know what else to say, right? I mean, the Patriots and the way they play, I mean, it's just, it's astonishing right now what we're seeing from the Patriots. It's sloppy. The offense is pitiful, okay? The defense is good, but not good enough to where it's like, oh, don't worry, we'll hold down the fort and cause turnovers and get touchdowns, and yeah, don't worry, bad offense, we'll hold it down for you that way.
And Judon was out.
Right, Judon is out. Right, they're not that good. You know, they're solid and sound, but, you know, like you see in this football game, it was just a lot of slow death in the game, a lot of slow, ugly, run for four, here's a completion for six or eight, and the Raiders kind of did that throughout the day and got a lot of ugly field goal drives off of that.
Yeah, Raiders improved to 3-3 in this one. Josh McDaniels, 3-0 as a head coach versus Bill Belichick, 2-0 with Las Vegas. They had that last one.
Last year was even worse, right?
Weird lateral.
That should have killed Bill, officially.
Maybe it did. Emotionally, he's been dead since that game. Johnny Isaac 55 tweeted to you saying, damn okay, Jimmy G is hurt again. He's in the hospital. That was a report that they took him to the hospital. So first of all, he says, I pray for him and his family for sure. Second of all, how did Josh McDaniels not expect this and have a better plan at quarterback?
I think that's fair, you know, right? I mean, I think that our listener here and John Isaac 55, he knows he's, you know, there's an injury history here. And with Jimmy Garoppolo, right, they're saying back. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think we have to, like, is it back spasms? Does he have a bone chip or herniated disc, whatever? Those are the things you think of when it's back injury related. But, yeah, I think that's it's a fair question. You know, Hoyer, in my heart of hearts, right, I think that they signed Jimmy Garoppolo thinking that they were going to be in a spot to get one of the quarterbacks they wanted still in the top 10. And I think through the evaluation process and then, wait, Stroud did end up going number two and all that, that they were kind of stuck in a spot of like, I don't know who we're going to take here. The top three are off the board, and they obviously didn't feel comfortable with Will Levis, right? So I that to me, and I don't know that. I'm just saying that would to me is what I felt at the time,
yeah,
and remember thinking. But, yeah, now they're stuck with Hoyer, and, of course, they got Aiden O'Connell behind him.
Yeah, Hoyer's the one that came into this game, but we'll see. Aiden O'Connell got the start before when Jimmy G couldn't go. So
yeah, I mean, you know, Mac throws a bad interception when they're driving. I mean, bad. Like, you're like, what? How could a Patriots quarterback do that? Right? I mean, he throws a ball to Hunter Henry where he's open down the middle of the field. He scrambles to the right and throws the ball 5 feet behind him to where, like, Hunter Henry almost tore his knee trying to stop and get the ball. Then we got the safety at the end of the football game where they're backed up. It's 19-17. They're in a tough spot. But, I mean, like, Mac Jones doesn't have 2 seconds to throw the football. Max Crosby goes around the edge to where Mac Jones can't even go, like, let me look at one and then I'll peek and maybe throw it away because I know I'm in the end zone. He literally is like, let me look at one, boom, I'm down on the ground, sack, game over, and that's all she wrote. And yeah, I just don't see light at the end of the tunnel for the Patriots. I don't see any bright spot on the offensive side of the ball. I see nothing to look at and go, it's close, or they're going to do this, the run game's close. There's nothing. Defensively, it'll continue to be solid and sound, but I don't know if they have enough playmakers anymore with all the guys that got hurt in the secondary and Judon out like you talked about. The Raiders are not special, right? I'm certainly not here going Raiders, like a little bit like the Rams. I think the Raiders are like 3-3. It's good. They're going to beat some teams they should beat. They're going to be a pain in the butt to teams that are better than them. But I don't look at them and go, oh, wait, they're getting ready for a playoff run here. Yeah. I don't think that by any stretch of the imagination.
As if Patriots fans were not depressed enough, here are some more depressing stats. Worst start, 1-5 since 1995 under Bill Parcells. Five straight games with 17 points or fewer for the first time under Bill Belichick. And that third quarter touchdown was their first in 40 drives. We need to move on right now.
That's so bad.
This is bad.
Yes.
That was Give Me the Headlines, presented by Hyundai. Couple more games here to go.
It's so much work for the Patriots on offense.
Patriots fans just want you to stop talking about it right now.
It's just like so much work. I mean, even like, you know, you talked about the third quarter drive. The fourth quarter drive, 17 plays, 75 yards. I mean, geez. It's like watching molasses grow.
Does it do that?
I don't think it does.
Mold.
Mold. Maybe mold grows. Yeah, it could be moss mold. Grows. Yeah, right.
Have you used that one before?
I don't think I have. That's a new one.
last call. Texans defeat the Saints 20-13. The final score in this one. The Saints got down there in the red zone a bunch of times. Failed to score a TD in three trips to the red zone. Alvin Kamara was bottled up short. In the fourth with the Texans up a touchdown here. C.J. Stroud again continues probably to impress you, I would assume. I haven't talked to you about that yet. They get their third win of the season, do the Texans. They had three wins all of last season. They have matched last year's win total already.
Yeah, they know who they are. I think that's the cool thing about the Texans. And then not only do they know who they are, their defense is fast, aggressive, it's well-coached, okay? And like we've seen the 49ers under D'Amico Ryans before, they're stingy in the red zone, so you can drive down, but it's hard to go down and score touchdowns with the way they play. And then, you know, off of that, the Texans are like, you know, they make use of their yards. Unlike the Saints that we're about to talk about, who have a lot of empty yards, where I'm going to go, oh, great, they moved the ball between the 30s, or, you know, they made a big pass play to get to the 50, and then they stalled out and they punt the ball away. They're kind of like the kings of that right now, the Saints are. The Texans are kind of the opposite. They might go, oh, we don't look good, we don't look good, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, they ripped off a run for 20. Whoa, C.J. Stroud just threw a ball down the middle for 25. They're in field goal position. Are they going to score a touchdown here? Are they going to get a field goal? So I don't. That's kind of how I feel. I feel like their yards and plays get used in a better way maybe than the Saints. The Saints are still disappointing to me on the offensive side of the ball. It's just, you know, 50 times? We're going to drop back 50 times? Really? There was no big plays in the pass game until late in the game. All right? There was, a big pass to Olave. I think a big pass to Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah, Rashid Shaheed, a playmaker throughout this game.
Right, he's a playmaker throughout. That was the one big play in the first half. He threw the post route down the middle to Rashid Shaheed Carr. It was a great throw. He was big. He went up and got it. Yeah, he's a playmaker. He really is. He scares defenses.
They did miss a couple field goals, did the Saints. That hurt
as well. They did.
Blake Groupe missed from 52 and 29.
29, that's what I mean. It was a weird day with field goals. It definitely was.
The shine is off your guy CJ, though. He threw his first career interception. He did go 191 pass attempts without an interception to start his NFL career. That is now the longest streak in NFL history.
Yeah.
It's over, though.
Well, the good thing is there was two turnovers on the same play. He threw an interception.
That's right.
And they fumbled it, and the Texans recovered it. Right. So that was pretty amazing, right? It actually ended up not hurting the Texans and C.J. Stroud the way it traditionally would. That was his first interception, and I'm still really impressed with him. That's a good defense he played against today. I mean, they're good up front. They're one of the best at pressuring the quarterback in football. They're pretty creative with what they do on the back end there. Right, but I think the big thing is that, you know, the Texans can score touchdowns. They can play D, keep you out of the end zone, and just got a good little formula going on the offensive side of the ball. There's great balance between their run game. We talked about it a lot. The play-action pass game, and they can certainly rely on Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud in the drop-back pass game, too.
All right, one more game to talk about. It was a Commanders victory over the Falcons. 24-16 was the final score in this one. This was a strange one because as I was watching it, I was like, I think the Falcons offense is like performing considerably better than the Commanders offense. But the Commanders had the lead. And looking at the numbers, that is the case. Falcons had 25 first downs. The Commanders just had 13 first downs. What did Ritter throw for in this game?
He threw over 300 yards. Right.
But it was not a great 300 yards. They had three interceptions thrown in there, too. He did have two touchdown passes. I feel like this is becoming a weekly thing. It's like the stock market. Desmond Ritter, up or down. Very volatile stock here, too. Will we see him next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road? That seems to be a weekly conversation.
Well,
now.
Yeah, Arthur Smith at least pulled half of his mustache off of his face today watching. Desmond Ritter.
There were some like not just like they were like gut wrenching interceptions in the end zone, just like bad, just like what were you thinking?
Didn't look
type.
Good.
Didn't
they
look
looked
good.
Unorganized at the line of scrimmage? Some of that might be Arthur Smith's fault
sure.
too. I don't know, but it didn't look good, like you said, and. Like we've talked about in weeks past, there's some throws and decisions where you just go, wait, you played too. That's like a beginner mistake, or you just don't do that there, right? And I think that's what's got to be a little concerning by them. But like how you started off this conversation,
yeah,
definitely is how I felt watching the football game. It felt like the Falcons were the better team on the field. It felt like the Falcons kind of just kept making mistakes in moments, and. To Washington's credit, you know, they made it happen.
Here's the total offense. 402 yards for the Falcons, 193 for the Commanders.
I mean, it's Washington, ugly field goal drive, okay? Then it was Atlanta answers back, goes and gets a touchdown, throws a great pass to Pitts in the back of the end zone, where you're going, man, Ritter looks good. Ritter was letting it go, throwing the ball with authority like we talked about on last Wednesday's podcast.
Stock peaking.
Yeah, stock was peaking. And then they're going to get the ball back. They fumble the punt return, the Atlanta Falcons. They give the ball short field to the Washington Commanders, who then score a touchdown. Okay. Then what's that followed up by? It's followed up by Atlanta going for it on 4th-and-2 at midfield and not getting it. Giving Washington the short field, and all of a sudden the game where you're going, damn, they were kind of controlling. Now they fumbled the punt and gave them the short field, and they're losing 17-7, right? And then you couple that with the second half mistakes of Desmond Ritter and some of the interceptions there, and that's how you lose a game where the stat line is what you're saying, where they out yardage gained them by 2-1, and converted double the third downs and had almost double the first downs in the football game and had 13 more minutes in possession time. And, yeah, they ended up losing by 8 points. And that was because of the mistakes and the things you talked about in the red zone and the failures of the Falcons and Desmond Ritter.
Commanders snapped that 3-game losing streak. They're now 3-3. And Sam Howell does have his first career 3-touchdown game, even though he only threw for 151 yards, did find the end zone three times.
Yeah, that's right. Made it count. When they got down in there, they knocked it in. You know, it wasn't anything special to look at from them on that side of the ball. And this is where it's frustrating for Atlanta, right? It's a little frustrating for Washington. Washington should be better, too. Don't get me wrong here, right? But Atlanta, I just look at it and go, wait, we got a top 10 running offense. We got a top 10 defense in football. And what's the thing we can't do? We got a good field goal kicker. We can't rely on our passing game or our quarterback at all, other than one game, which was last week, right? Every other game we've kind of come in here and gone, oh, man, it's tough. All right, Ritter's getting it. They believe in him. He'll get it. But we've only had one game really come away and go, oh, he got it that game. I think that's going to be another big conversation for them down in Atlanta this week.
All right, very briefly, let's talk about what happened on Thursday. Chiefs get a win. It didn't look pretty. They haven't had a whole lot of games that look super pretty this year.
No.
19-8 over the Broncos, though.
What'd defense, run game, lack of, you know, motivation by the Chiefs, right? I mean, they're the ultimate. I kind of think I said this on the Thursday show last week. They'll get bored. They'll let the Broncos hang around. That's kind of what they do, you know. But I think the real thing is like, yeah, it's disappointing that they even let them hang around or be in the football game, and that game should have been over way earlier, so we all could have gone to sleep, right? But you know, like the Broncos, I mean, Sean Payton, a year out of football. I mean, just I don't know. The offense looks like it's going in the wrong direction as compared to where it was early in the year. I'm dead serious. Other than the Bears game and the second half, man, the last 8 quarters of football are not good on the Broncos offense. And they weren't that great before that Bears game. You know, I mean, Sean Payton calling a timeout before the half. It's like he's lost his mojo with his year out of football. I don't even know what to say. But
it almost seems like his offense is like stuck in a different era.
In a different era.
It was just one year that he was out.
I know.
Probably not that way. But
no, but he had a robot wired to perfection. And a guy like Drew Brees, the offense was set up. He had a culture in the coaches where, hey, everybody believes in Sean and all that. And now he's having to restart that. He's hit some bumps in the road, and you got some coaches and guys in the locker room going, damn, is this guy really as good as everybody thinks he is? Right? I think there's a little of that going on there right now. Mm-hmm. Let alone, damn, our coaches said way dumber things to the media this year than we have. That's not even close. We need to teach him in the team meeting what to say to the media, right? So, yeah, it's added to a list look of dysfunction there with Denver. Their defense should be happy. As shitty as their defense has been all year, the fact that they, you know, hung in there and only 19 points to the Chiefs. And, again, with the Chiefs, D's great, running the ball is great. But what have we been saying, right? Offense is hard for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Big plays are hard for the Chiefs. It really is. And they got to figure out something to remedy that, and because it's just going to be too hard for them to get back to the Super Bowl with the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, Kelce had a 40-yard reception. Rice, a 28-yard.
Rice had the little slant over the middle. He had two over-the-middle catches that were big plays.
That's about it.
It was about it for the football game.
The good news for Russ is he almost did throw for 100 yards in this game, so 95. So very close to getting 100.
You're funny. 95 and, like, what? The interception – one was like a slant route, right, where the guy got his hand in there and popped it in the air. Another one was a bad one. I can't even remember exactly how it does. It's a few days from now, but either way, not pretty on the offensive side of the ball by the Broncos.
One more game to go. Monday Night Football, Cowboys at the Chargers in SoFi. Those Cowboys fans will be making a lot of noise.
Oh my gosh, they're going to dominate that
home
stadium.
Home field advantage.
Yes.
Which, you know what, people make fun of that, and they make fun of the LA teams for that. Maybe they should. I don't know. Whatever. But I kind of like it. It's like high school football again, right? That's what you got in high school football. You got
it's not bad. It makes the TV viewing experience kind of fun.
You got cheers for everything.
No doubt. I don't disagree with you there.
You predicted that the Cowboys would win by 23-20.
I think this is a scary game for the Cowboys, right? Like, if there was games I looked at to where I was like, there's always every week you look at a few games where you go, this could be the upset. This one can jump out to you.
I don't think they're angry from what happened, the embarrassment from last week.
They will be angry. And it's why I'm picking them to win the game.
Okay.
But, here's some things that I look at. I go, all right, one, the Chargers haven't been good at stopping the pass, right? Well, this is a simple passing game to stop. Now, the run defense for the Chargers has not been horrible. So that's going to be, one of the keys to the game. Can the Cowboys run the ball to open up some things in the pass game? And on the flip side, the Chargers can really protect the passer. They know how to pick up blitzes, that if it's a four-man rush, they're really good that way. And we know that Dallas will play some aggressive defenses and do some things to get after the quarterback to where Justin Herbert will stand there and go, okay, so what? People are around me. So there's one of my receivers way down yonder, open for a 45-yard gain. Let me just stand there raw, and throw it down. So that's where I look at it being a little scary, let alone that the Chargers can run the ball a little this year. That's different about them. And we know that Dallas has got a little issue in that department. So I'm going to pick Dallas because, I think they're the more talented football team. And a little bit like you said, the motivating factor from last week, the way it went down, all of that. But I think this will be a scary football game for them.
One last stat from Pete here to sum up the day, speak to the big day the defense has had. 9 of the 12 games today went under their over-under total. And one that went over is the 49ers-Browns, who scored 36 points. The over-under there was 35.5.
That's amazing.
That is crazy. A day for defenses, some bad weather, some rain, some cooler temperatures hitting the Northeast.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that
Midwest.
As well, right? Defenses are there's some good ones out there, and I think they're, for the most part, week six, they start to learn, this team does this team does that. We've accumulated some things, And now, you know, offenses will start to adjust off of that. But, yeah, interesting week six in the NFL. The NFL is always awesome. It always throws us curveballs. We never know what to expect. I mean, come on. Who would have thought the Jets beat the Eagles and the Browns without Deshaun Watson beat the 49ers, or the Giants would be on the one-yard line without Daniel Jones with a chance to win the game at the end against the Buffalo Bills?
They were on the
one-yard
line.
It was a bad no-call.
It should have been another PI, but you can't call it two plays in a row. That's just too much.
Well, that's the other problem, too. That's another thing. They got to fix that.
But the Giants were on the one-yard line at the end of both halves and come away with zero points.
Thank you for that. You're having fun basking in that, right?
I just don't blame it all on the refs.
Okay.
The second one was
no,
the refs,
you're right.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The first one's on them for sure. All right, you know where to find us, everybody.
Sorry,
subscribe, rate, and review. Yeah, no, you just crapped on
Pete's
team.
Go to bed.
You're feeling good. You're a Lion. See, we already know. See, here we go.
I'm going to be.
So you're going to be spoiled. You're going to be just telling everybody how to play football now that your team's good, huh? That's where we're going with Ahmed Fareed. But you know where to find us. Subscribe, rate, and review. I hope you enjoy this podcast as you wake up on a Monday morning. Have a good day at work. Have a good few days of work. You know where to find us Wednesday. Ahmed, thanks as always for driving the ship. Peace out, homies. Enjoy Monday Night Football. Cowboys, Chargers. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.